Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce Captain Brett Bartlett to you. He's retired from the Tampa Police Department with 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. That's right. So thanks for being on the show, Captain. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls, our title sponsor, at Gauls.com. And hey, don't forget that code Radio15 to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. So try using that as soon as you get the chance. ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're streaming over 1 million followers right now on social media during the live show. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And Comply Technologies, satellite sponsor, satellite radio. I think I misspoke. Safeguard Recruiting is our streaming sponsor, and they're helping us get streamed to 1 million people. And then TwoBells.com, they built their new online store, LeoRoundtable.com. So if you want some cool gear, cool shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff, go to LeoRoundtable.com, our website. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see where we have an online store built by TwoBells. Make your purchases and orders there. We've got these mugs. These are pretty cool coffee mugs, and they've come up with a new one, Brett. And I'm going to show you. You know, there was a they were coming up with a new mug on this thing, and I'm just going to show you. This is the old mug, and I'm curious. I'm trying to get some input from the people that are watching the show. This is the old mug, and it's got the logo on one side. But when I get it, I'm holding it with my left hand. I've got to hold it with my left hand for you to see the logo. If I do it with my right hand, there's no logo on the right side. But the inside, it's like that white ceramic. It's nice. Pretty, and it's thin on the bottom, and it widens at the top. And then the logo is kind of blacked out.
Well, we need to have our motto on the back: admit nothing, deny everything, demand proof, make counteract. I bet we could sell 1,000 of them just like that.
I wore that shirt with that phrase on the back of it all over St. Augustine and Georgia.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Oh, yeah. People were like looking at it, making it was crazy.
Were they now mumbling behind you? Like,
no. Now, here's the new mug they came out with. So this is the mug, and this one is double-sided. Yeah. It's black on the inside, black on the outside, and it's really more of a shape of a traditional mug. Now, this is the new one. It's supposed to be, Jeff told me it was going to be taller, but it's really probably, it's not as tall. It's actually shorter. Yeah. And the short of it is that I like the old mug better. I'm trying to see what other people think. It's white in the center. It flares out. I got to hold it in front of the camera. It's not a typical, square size like this one. I would like to use the old one and get the logo either on the other side for right-handers or get it on both sides.
But well, I think our guiding light phrase would be better on that straight up and down coffee mug. Otherwise, on that flag one, it might be just kind of too weird. But I'm a traditionalist. I like a straight up and down coffee cup.
You like straight up and down?
I'm not a slanted.
You don't like the pear?
No.
All right. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich at FormerLawman.com. And finally, Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And, I mentioned that we've got a new site going live. I haven't even given Brett the update on that yet. So as soon as I get the it's up and running, but as soon as I get the URL and everything squared away, I'll give it out so you guys can start accessing it. And this is going to be, I predict this is going to be big. So we'll keep you guys informed on that. Now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got one main topic. Biden admin helped Georgia DA Fannie Willis move the Trump probe forward, a letter reveals. Now, I know you're thinking, well, they flat out denied doing that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Wait till you hear this. And now we got some more stuff too. Assuming that we have time to get to everything, the FBI story, Oklahoma man charged for assassination threats against Trump and shooting at agents. He shot at agents. Wow. And then Colorado Springs officers, they shot an armed suspect after he shot at an officer and reached for a gun. That's a pretty dramatic video. Another video, suspect killed himself after pursuit from an ambush attack on a Greenville County deputy. This guy rolls up with incendiary ammo and just freaking lights this deputy's cruiser up, and then the chase is on. And so we're going to be talking about that. Then with LAPD, we got an anti-ICE rioters. They used frozen water bottles to injure federal officers in downtown LA. And I think that we even got some LA cops that were involved in this too. We got the chief talking. We got Colorado Springs police releasing body cam of officers shooting a woman who tried to take a police car. She goes for a gun in the cockpit of the car. That didn't work out too well for her. New York State police trooper struck these next two, Brett. A New York State Police trooper, a female, struck by an out-of-control SUV during an accident investigation. Dude, I freaking cringed when I watched that video. It hurt. And then a man hiding in a trash can, he runs on foot before being dumped in the dumpster. That's just, those last two are just something. So if you're ready, are you ready to do the first main story?
All right, let's go.
All right, let's get this party started. So our first one, now I'm going to go through this quickly because there's a lot of information in it, but just because, unless you guys really, really, you know, if they did a data dump when Trump 2.0 started a year ago, we would have been so overwhelmed with information, we would have forgot everything, and we would have been desensitized, I guarantee, by the time it was over. So I don't really mind the stuff trickling out, because you just simply can't handle it at all at one time. So in this one, TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press, Biden admin, they actually helped the Georgia district attorney, Fannie Willis. We all know Fannie helped her move the Trump probe forward, according to letters that they found out. So the Biden White House took a major step to help the Fulton County district attorney, Fannie Willis, move forward in her Trump probe, even though there were denials that this was going to happen. And a top White House lawyer, so remember, a Biden lawyer, agreed in September 2022 to waive executive privilege so that Willis's team, the DA, could have former president or former Trump administration officials and senior advisors testify in front of a grand jury. And this is according to a letter that was obtained by Just the News. Now, Willis was trying to present herself as impartial. President Donald Trump's legal team, they suggested that there was a coordinated effort between both her and the Biden administration in legal filings seeking records related to any interactions. Now, America First Legal, they filed a lawsuit with Just the News to obtain the records, and that was back in 2024. The Biden admin, they declined to assert executive privilege, which the current president generally decides to claim, and they did this to keep the documents away from the January 6th committee in 2021. Now, the President Biden has determined, as he did with respect to the congressional investigation of the events, that an assertion of executive privilege is not in the public interest with respect to efforts to thwart the orderly transition of power under our Constitution. And the special counsel at that time was a guy named Richard Sauber. And anyhow, there were some letters and some documentations going down, including with the chief senior district attorney, Donald Wakeford. And then we kind of go down to the DOJ. So this determination covers events within the White House on or about January the 6th, 2021. We all remember what happened then. Efforts to use the Department of Justice to advance a false narrative that the 2020 election was tainted. Now they're just doing, this is what Trump is known for saying. And this is what a lot of educated people believe now with all the information out. But they were downplaying the use of the DOJ to advance what they're saying was a false narrative back then, that the 2020 election was tainted by widespread fraud. And you know what I'm talking about, Brett. You know, there were, what, 8 or 13 million, million votes that just suddenly appeared, and then they disappeared at the next presidential election. And it also goes on to say that there was, you know, obstructing the transfer of power, in addition to questioning the election results. The president believes that the constitutional protections of executive privilege should not be used to shield information that reflects efforts to subvert the Constitution itself. So this is why he was, you know, not suppressing this. So a judge officially dismissed the DA's case, and that's Fannie Willis's case against Trump and his co-defendants, in November, and it centered on allegations of interference with the 2020 election in Georgia. And she was disqualified from the case over an appearance of impropriety, which was just a beautiful thing that happened in the news, with her romantic relationship with a dude named Nathan Wade, the guy that wishes that the woman he had the affair with looked a little bit better than she does, I suspect. And then DA Willis falsely claimed that she paid the same hourly rate to all her special prosecutors working on the case, just like Nathan Wade, and reported by the Daily Caller News Foundation. And they showed that Wade actually got a higher rate than the state's top racketeering expert. So another lie. Then DA Wade twice billed $2,000 for meetings in 2022 with who? With the Biden White House. And they got records of that. Wade, you know, the boyfriend, denied remembering the meetings during the transcribed interview in 2024 with the House Judiciary Committee. It's amazing how people get amnesia. And then cell phone data included in the filing by Trump's attorney, it actually showed the district attorney visited Willis's neighborhood at least 35 times in 2021. Wow. And so here's the best part. We've got a DOJ official, Jeff Clark. He's one of the defendants that, you know, worked with Trump, that got hooked up in this thing. He says, as many of us argued from the jump, Fannie, the DA, was colluding with the Biden White House, the Biden DOJ, and the January 6th committee. And he said that now the documents have come out proving that that is true. They were withheld from the Georgia defendants on spurious privilege grounds. And he said that is a disgrace. Brett Bartlett.
I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about all these things. Here's what I want to hear. So-and-so was arrested. It's all I want to hear. We're so, and you said it, we're getting fatigue. We're getting fatigue. Okay, so we find out that she's dirty. No kid. We find out that her attorney was dipping his pen in the company ink. No kid. I want somebody to go to jail for this. Put somebody in jail. Because we've got about, you know, and I don't know, I don't predict anything, but come next November when we have the midterms, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he needs to start locking people up, or maybe just take all that energy that that would take and put it into making this country better, you know, doing all the stuff that he's been doing. But if you're going to talk about it, put somebody in jail for it.
Yeah, I agree. That would be refreshing. And you kind of get, I think you would agree, Brett, you kind of get desensitized. You hear this. And we all know Fannie Willis is corrupt and conflict of interest. And she campaigned on a, you know, with a promise to go after Trump, which is something you just don't do. I mean, ethically, you just don't do that stuff. So we've known. So this is, you're right. There's not many surprises here. I would donate a pair of handcuffs. I would pay money to have my handcuffs be the ones placed on arrest.
But here's the thing, you know, they could prove today. Okay, I'll wait till we get back.
Well, hold that thought. Yeah, I'm sorry. This commercial break sneaking up on us. Commercial break, guys. We're talking about Gauls. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gauls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Back with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired Captain Brett Bartlett from the Tampa Police Department with Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. Did I mention he had 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience? Okay. Anyhow, we've been talking about Fannie Willis and how they have now got documentation proving that she was working with the White House, even though the Biden admin flat out denied it and all these things went on. So, yeah. It's amazing. But anyhow, I know Brett summed it up beautifully and said, you know what? We're tired of hearing this crap. Let's just throw some cuffs on people, get some people indicted, arrested, and let there be some consequences for the bad actors. So I agree.
You know, and a lot of people out there, Chip, they don't care if she did a bad thing or not. They don't care. Remember, my theory is if it's my guy can do no wrong.
Okay.
Can't do anything wrong. And there's people on both sides. They're going to say that my guy can't do anything wrong, or your guy is always evil, no matter what happens. And so, but there's enough people out there that they're going to be moved left or right, depending on what goes on. And some people are going to hate Trump if he arrests her. Some people are going to love Trump. I just do the right thing and put somebody in jail.
I'm with you. All right. Well, we got a full crew here now. We got Laya and Mary Lou. And that is, it looks like they're on Facebook. Sergeant George is on YouTube and popping over the Rumble. We've got MBS in Colorado where it's 42 degrees. Bill BC. And of course, you know, this is Butter and the other crew. So thanks for watching, guys. We appreciate it. Moving along, we've got our next story here. It's an update story. It's from the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. It says FBI. Oklahoma man charged for assassination threats against Trump and shooting an agent. So this 30-year-old Oklahoma dude is scheduled to be arraigned. So that tells you automatically they didn't kill him. So he's still alive. And he's being arraigned on a series of federal charges So Federal's got some teeth to it after a violent confrontation with the FBI and a long-running campaign of online death threats. I'm glad they got this guy, but crap. I mean, you know, Taylor Ryan Prigmore is the loser's name. They've got his online profile. He's facing up to get this is where the federal, this is where you don't, why you don't want to get charged with federal crimes. He faced up to 100 years in federal prison after the investigation into what? Social media posts calling for the murder of President Donald Trump and MAGA supporters. And according to the federal complaint that was filed in the Western District of Oklahoma, his digital trail started as early as May of 2025. Now, prosecutors allege that he used YouTube comments to call for a civil war and the assassination of the president. Crap, Brett. We've been having our comments and screenshots and little thumbnails deleted off of YouTube for years. How can this guy get by with this on YouTube and get it to stay up? It goes on to say, on January the 17th, this year, 2026, he reportedly wrote, "Our president needs to die to save lives," alongside other posts urging followers to kill the feds. In one post, he explicitly stated that his intentions were not sarcasm. He wrote that, "I'm prepping physically and mentally to kill federal agents." The investigation reached a breaking point on January the 19th, 2026, when the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, they went in to arrest this dude at his house. The Justice Department reports that there was a brief standoff, and he allegedly fired multiple rounds at federal agents. You got to be kidding me. This guy lived through that. While no one was injured in the exchange, investigators recovered a gun. Now, what kind of a gun? You would think this guy, he's planning mentally and physically. He's got to have like some super duper gun, right? A High Point 9mm semi-automatic pistol. I mean, High Point's better use as a paperweight than a real gun. But the incident resulted in additional charges, including attempted murder of federal law enforcement, discharging a firearm during a crime of violence. In the months that led up to the standoff, his rhetoric focused on perceived collapse of the justice in the United States, grievances against ICE and the current political climate. He allegedly encouraged others to buy guns, stating that this is life and death. And along with the attempted murder charge, a federal grand jury actually indicted him on 4 counts of threatening the murder of federal law enforcement officers and 2 counts of communicating interstate threats. And if convicted, a maximum of a century behind bars. Well, that would be sweet. And $2.25 million in fines. Brett Bartlett.
Now, they always say this. He was found with a loaded gun. Oh, my gosh. That just makes it all kinds of evil. I tell you, I think President Trump is he is in more danger than any other president we've ever had. Just on the all these attempts that are going on. I could be proven wrong, but it seems like that all the time. Of course, the shot in the ear was proof that he is under more danger than the other ones. But yeah. and the other side, they prompt this. They say the words, and there are a certain number of people out there, maybe small, but just enough, that are waiting for the words. In their retarded brain, when they hear these public officials say the words, they think that's their cue to move forward. And it doesn't take many, but it takes just enough. You know, they found another guy that on President Trump's property at Mar-a-Lago just a week, 10 days ago, caught him with, he had a shotgun. And yeah. I think they sent him to his reward. But it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And it's all because of the words that the other side is saying that are just enough to free up those people who are just waiting for those words.
Yeah, we got to keep our president alive. We got to keep him alive. I agree. Yep. Well, guys, moving along, and thank you, Captain. Our next one, we got about a minute and a half before we take our next commercial break. We got a story with a video component. So at Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, Colorado Springs officers, they shoot an armed suspect after he shoots at an officer and reaches for a gun.
Get on the ground right now. Police, get on the ground right now. Get on the ground right now. Get on the ground. Ah! 57 shots fired. Shot in the leg. I'm shot.
Fucking move again. I'm gonna shoot you.
I'm shot.
Give me cover to 2600. Bro, get on the ground!
I'm shot!
Get on the ground. Shots fired. Shots fired.
This is wild. Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, don't forget they legalized marijuana, right? Right, Brett? The Colorado Springs Police Department, they released this body cam footage. They've got two officers from an incident that resulted in the shooting of one officer. So it starts with the Colorado Springs officers and the U.S. Marshals Service and the Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit. So all these guys, they're doing an operation in northeast of Memorial Park. They're looking for a bad guy. And after that operation ends, they attempt to contact a dude that just looks kind of suspicious in the area. His name ends up being Michael Foster. And he allegedly starts to run. As soon as he sees the police, he refuses commands to stop and results in a pursuit on foot by two officers. So now look, this goes down fast. You've got to watch the replay, slow motion to see this, but this dude pulls out a gun as the officer's chasing him, and the guy points it directly at the officer that's right behind him, shoots him, and then the officer gets a shot off and goes down. And the officer, Dan Mork, simultaneously fired, you know, and so they both go down. And it says the bad guy's disarmed. That doesn't last for long. Guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. You've got to stay with us to find out what happened in the story. It's incredible. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for conductive distraction and de-escalation technology. It's a mouthful, but their flagship product we all know by now is called the glove. It's helped officers. You know, we used to say tens of thousands of times. Now it's over 250,000 deployments with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove is actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to your sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me when it comes to safety. This is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them the chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett. And we left off talking about a story with a video component. Colorado Springs officers, plural, shoot an armed suspect after he shoots an officer and reaches for a gun. So, yeah, this guy actually shot a cop. So I just told the story about how it pretty much starts off with a guy looking suspicious. They get done with an operation, but we got a lot of cops. We got Colorado Springs police officers. We got the U.S. Marshals Service there and the Department of Corrections, a fugitive apprehension unit. So we've got like three groups there, and they get in the foot chase with this dude. And so our cop, Dan Mork, he's the guy, the lead guy. Well, actually, he's the only guy chasing at this time. Another cop comes up shortly afterwards. But as the officer's chasing the bad guy turns around with a gun, shoots the officer. Officer very quickly returns fire. It's almost simultaneously. They both go down. Officer, they're both hit. And so the second officer, Stephen Mybert, he gets there. And so we got one officer. Well, we got two guys, a good guy and a bad guy, both down on the ground. Both have been shot. And so the officer tells the bad guy, hey, stay on the ground, and or that he's going to use deadly force on him. And then the officer, by my recollection, holsters his gun, goes out on radio. Now, it originally said that the bad guy dropped the gun when he got shot by the officer, so they're both down, but he stands up to get away, and now he's got the gun back again. So I got questions over why the officer holstered, it looked like he holstered his gun, went out on radio, and then the bad guy jumps up and tries to run. Our cop grabs him, takes him down. The guy goes for gun, and now our second officer, Mybert, fires several shots at the bad guy. Now, the officer Mork was released from the hospital. This is the officer that was shot simultaneously, and so he ends up being released, and he's been with the agency for 26 years. The second officer that rolled up that also shot the bad guy, Mybert, he's been with the agency for 8 years and 7 months, and our bad guy Foster still in the hospital in critical but stable position. So I'm looking at my show notes, and that's pretty much the way that it went down. And they do have some great slow motion freeze frames with the zoom. It's amazing, Brett. What do you think?
That bad guy, he needs to be in a pine box 6 feet under right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been talking about this for years. Shut up. Don't get on the radio. Keep the gun in your hand. until you know absolutely the bad guy's under control. This guy, this bad guy was dedicated. He got shot. He got up and walked right past those officers.
Yeah.
That's a deadly, as soon as he started getting up, that's a deadly force encounter all day long.
Yeah, I don't know why. Look, I mean, the first officer that got shot was more senior than the second officer. But yeah, the bad guy still had a gun and access to a gun, clearly. So why you would holster your weapon? Now, maybe the second cop wasn't aware of that, but that's where you know you've had a shooting. So yeah, I got questions there. Yeah. I definitely see a training opportunity.
And you know, if we dug into it deeper, I might change my mind. But at least what it looks like is this: when he's putting his gun away, talking on the radio, he's distracted. He can't make a decision. You've got to shut your mouth, keep the gun in your hand until somebody comes up behind you and says, "I got it."
Yeah.
Stop it. Just quit talking. Stop talking on the daggum radio.
That'll get you killed. You know, it's one thing if you've got a shootout going on and it's active shooter and you've got units rolling in and you don't want them to arrive at the wrong location and get taken out, you know, by a cop. But that's not what we had. You know, you've got seconds to be able to deal with the situation. And these guys are just too, it's amazing. They're so radio happy, but they're not, but they don't want to go hands on anymore. They want to use the taser for everything. So they don't want to go hands on, and they want to always talk on the radio while they're, you know, take one hand off the gun and grab a radio and talk and shoot one hand. It's just the craziest thing.
If it gets much worse, what we're going to hear on these police videos on the way to a call, radio, there may be a shooting. Just want to let you know. Maybe shots fired. Maybe. Oh. Possibly. Shots fired. Maybe.
It is scary. We got Steve Bartlett just joined us from Facebook. So, Steve, that name sounds familiar. But, Steve, thanks for watching the show.
That's my sweet little nephew.
We appreciate it. And so moving along, we have another story with a video component. So if you're up for it, Brett, Rumble.com, still our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Suspect kills himself after pursuit from an ambush attack on a Greenville County deputy. Now, we have seen this before. I think that we actually even covered it. This is where the dude was using incendiary ammo when he lights up this sheriff's deputy. He lit up the car. The deputy, from what I understand, was okay, but we're in Greenville, South Carolina. So the sheriff's office there released this critical incident briefing and includes dash cam footage of the chase that ensued after the ambush.
Following the shooting, the suspect was pronounced deceased by what the Greenville County Coroner's Office revealed was a self-inflicted gunshot that occurred around the time of the forcible stop. Standard with all officer-involved shootings, agents with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division were requested to the scene. The suspect's 12-gauge shotgun and 9mm handgun were collected from the scene.
It does say that it injured the officer, the ambush. So on Sunday, January the 11th, we've got Officer Giordano Alberto. He's in his patrol car. And he's outside the Greenville County Law Enforcement Center. It's 2:00 in the morning, though. And we have a 42-year-old bad guy named David William Lane. He drives up next to the cruiser, and we got a surveillance camera, and it is like freaking electric fire works going on. It's just crazy. It's incendiary ammo, and it just lights this car up, this cruiser up. And it's nighttime. Remember, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So, and then when he gets done lighting the cruiser up, dude drives off, and the cruiser just sitting there, right? The officer's been injured and stuff. So Lane is seen fleeing from deputies in a 2019 silver Honda Civic. Now, I think we all automatically know that there needs to be some kind of someone's got to confront this guy about the car that he drives. I mean, a 2019 Honda Civic, seriously, and how are you going to get away from cops driving a Civic? But anyhow, after firing at the officer, now he takes off and they see him at 3:13 a.m. So remember, this is about an hour and 13 minutes later. Deputies follow Lane. I don't know what happened. I guess they lost him and picked up the car or whatever. He fires two rounds at deputies who did not return fire. And then in a dash cam video, we've got him continuing to flee into a parking lot where he open fires again at deputies. So this would be like the third time. One deputy returns fire before he drives away again. And now he turns into a nearby parking lot. And once in the parking lot, our bad guy is forcibly stopped by deputies. That's probably good terminology for what I saw. The deputies open fired on the bad guy. After the shooting, the coroner, that's a good sound, isn't it? Because you know that there's a dead bad guy. The coroner pronounced Lane dead. Do you think the coroner's ever pronounced guys alive, Brett?
No.
I mean, I'm just reading this thinking, really?
Wouldn't that be a hoot? Yeah, we pronounce this guy alive.
So the coroner pronounces the dude dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound that occurred around the time of the forcible stop. That dude was dead either way. He was gone. Now, looking at my notes, it's an intense 4.5-minute video, and I advise watching it from the beginning as the suspect drives up in the park deputy and fires the incendiary ammo. That alone, you've never seen anything like it. But then you see the multiple pursuits, and then the sound kicks in at the 2-minute and 30-second mark, and it gets real at the 3-minute and 17-second mark where it's his last stand. He drives in that parking lot. You've got other units converging on him at the end of the chase. And then we've got two different dash cams that it shows. And then that one car that just takes him out of that cruiser just plows right into him, knocks him backwards. What do you think, Captain?
Yeah, this is nothing but deadly force. If those officers had a suitcase tactical nuke, it would have been warranted. Just whatever's in your hand, they need to kill this guy. You see the bad guy pull up, but he's not close to the officer, so it doesn't really raise too many alarms. But when he fired that incendiary, and you saw that on the video, oh my gosh. Now, I'm glad the officer is okay, so I feel comfortable saying this. Kind of funny, but if it was me, they would have called my wife, Mary Lou, and said, he survived the shooting, but he terminally crapped in his pants because, holy cow. Man, all wow. Those sparks of crap flying. But yeah, for them. He needs to go. He did it himself, which is good. He saved the officers the trauma of having to kill him.
Now, from what I understand, I've done a little research on incendiary ammo and stuff. And of course, you've taken the Gun Learn course, so I'm sure you know more than I do. But you and I may have had this conversation before where you educated me a little bit. But I was under the impression that incendiary ammo was treated just like armor-piercing ammo, that it's difficult to get a hold. Like, you just can't go purchase it. The agencies can get it and stuff, or the military and stuff.
It's still out there. There's some stuff that you used to be able to cut off, especially for shotguns, called Dragon's Breath. And man, when you fired it, it lit the world up. You can't get that anymore. So I don't know where he may have gotten that ammunition from, but there's no telling. He may have made it himself. I really don't know. But it was if I can use the word, spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of under the impression that it goes through stuff like armor piercing, if I'm not mistaken.
Not necessarily. Incendiary is not this. It could be the same as armor piercing, but it's not. It doesn't.
I know
always
it's not
mean
the purpose
the same
for
thing.
It, but right.
Yeah.
Right.
Armor piercing typically has a very, very hard core, and inside that hard core in that round, there's not enough room to put anything that would burn.
Okay. All right.
Typically, unless there's probably something out there I don't know about, but usually it's one or the other.
All right. So we are 30 seconds out. Perfect timing. So I'll just whet the appetite with our next story, perhaps. So our next one here, it's going to be an update. LAPD anti-ice riders used frozen water bottles to injure federal officers in downtown LA. And were the cops there? And did the cops get injured? And what kind of action did they take? We're going to find out. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo, like incendiary, almost every day, right? But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett. And, you know, I whet the appetite before we went to commercial break. We've got RVMnews.com as the source. That's Red Voice Media. LAPD, anti-ice riders use frozen water bottles to injure federal officers in downtown LA. And don't forget, also in the news is about these guys in New York hitting what NYPD cops with snowballs that were actually rocks with snow around the outside of them. And what I think I heard the mayor saying, I just saw a snowball fight, you know, like really. Anyhow, this would go down so differently. I'm reading what went on in LA. If this happened in Tampa when Brett and I were working together, there would be some dead people, and I'm not talking about the cops. Los Angeles Police Department Chief Jim McDonnell said that on Tuesday, that high school students, now I know we're talking high school students, but crap, the suspected of injuring two federal officers during an anti-ICE riot, or riots, plural, on February 13th, that they used frozen water bottles as projectiles, and that was reported by the New York Post. Chief McDonald disclosed the detail about this during the remarks at the police commission meeting, which outlined protest activity in the city that's been going on since February the 9th. He said that unidentified suspects, and that's another problem, why they unidentified, they threw frozen water bottles at two federal protective service officers assigned to guard the federal building in downtown LA during what he described as a violent anti-ICE confrontation. So all these people talking about, oh, they're not violent. Yeah, that's a bunch of you know what. The projectile struck both officers, resulting in one officer sustaining a head injury and one officer getting a laceration above his right eye, according to Chief McDonald. Remember, we're talking about frozen water bottles. In a separate incident at the same protest, a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent was hit in the head with a rock, causing an injury, according to DHS, Department of Homeland Security. Now, here's another troubling thing. No arrests have been made in either case. Reports were filed for assault with a deadly weapon in both incidents, according to the chief. And according to the chief, approximately 200 students took part in a school walkout and an anti-ICE demonstration that escalated on February the 13th. So remember, we were talking about February the 9th. Now we're at the 13th, 4 days later. Students from the Thomas Jefferson High School, Maya Angelou Community High School, and Santee Education Complex, all three of these places, they were directed through social media to take Metro Transit and gather at the Santee Education Complex. The group marched to City Hall before continuing to the federal building on Los Angeles Street. Now, we know that they have intel units that should be aware of all this stuff, and I'm sure that they were aware of all this stuff in advance. Chief McDonald said participants began to bang on windows and doors near the entrance before moving toward the federal detention center, where demonstrators flooded the loading dock, and they were confronted by federal service protection agents. These are high schoolers. Members of the group threw frozen water bottles, striking two federal protective agents. The chief said that no LAPD personnel were injured and no arrests were made during the February 13th incident. Why? Video recorded during the protest showed a large group of demonstrators, teenagers, high schoolers, surrounding officers who drew what? Their pistols? No, they drew their friggin' tasers, and they pushed protesters back down the street. Another clip captured a demonstrator. He's swinging a pole at an agent, and he hits him at least twice. Additional footage showed an officer wrestling with a woman before she was pulled back by the crowd and appeared to leave the scene. So they pretty much took her away from the officer. Chief McDonald also referenced separate planned walkout and ICE demonstration held in downtown LA February the 9th. Remember the earlier date? He said students at that event threw water bottles as well. There are no injuries reported, no arrests made again. Just because there's no injuries doesn't mean there shouldn't be arrests made. The February 13th protest, remember, we got the 9th and the 13th, so now we're jumping 4 days ahead again. That was part of a 3 consecutive Fridays of anti-ICE demonstrations in downtown L.A., and teenagers were burning flags, vandalizing buildings, throwing objects at officers. Last week, McDonald urged students to remain in school, avoid dangerous protests. The L.A. Department or LAPD also warned that there may be legal consequences for parents and students if the students skip the class to participate in the protest. You know, the same students they haven't identified, Brett, and they haven't arrested yet. Far left activists have encouraged students to join demonstrations opposing ICE. A group calling Dare to Struggle SoCal, like Southern California, urged students to leave class, rebel against federal agents. And U.S. Attorney Bill Esley released photographs of 2 teenagers suspected of attacking ICE agents during the February 13th protest and said that those involved would face prosecution, but they don't know who they are. Captain Brett.
First off, pick those kids out of school. Make the parents pay for their education. Excuse me. But I tell you, this opens up the door. Now, if I was out there, any place, anywhere, and somebody raises up their hand to throw a water bottle at me, I'm going to shoot them right between the running lights. Because now there's demonstrated evidence that
why they go for tasers, could, Brett?
Yeah, I know it. But if that happened on the street, one on one, they'd shoot them. But because it's a group situation, they hesitate to do anything. But even before that, if somebody throws a bottle at me with liquid in it, why can't I presume there's going to be some harmful product in there? I don't get it. But here's what the other side wants. They want toddlers out there protesting ICE. So when one of them gets hurt, they could say, oh, look at you horrible, horrible people. You've attacked children. Well, these aren't children. These are grown they're adults. If they're acting like adults, they need to be treated like adults.
Yeah. You know, it's just sad. I really think it's a East Coast, West Coast thing. I suspect that you would see a lot of the same things going on, even if it wasn't in a group. I mean, and I'm just going off a lot of things, what I hear, you know, some of the guys on the show that are from LAPD and stuff. I just see this would never happen on this side of the country. And you're right. We would put a bullet through the running lights. And you don't have to be in fear of death to be able to use deadly force, only injury. Yeah. Someone throwing a water bottle at me, yep. Frozen or not frozen, they're getting shot.
Great bodily harm. Yep.
Yeah. You know, someone has a BB gun and I know it's not a weapon, but I'm getting shot. They're shooting at me with a BB gun where I could take my eye out. Guess what? I'm shooting yeah. them to end the threat, and they're probably going to die.
If it's a pink gun or a blue gun or a red gun, they're still going to get shot.
Yeah.
Because nowadays you have no idea anyway. There's so many different configurations. You know, you can spray paint a gun green or blue. It doesn't matter.
And that's what they would do. Yeah.
But they need to set an example and to kick the kids out of school, even if it's hundreds of them, kick them out. They need to fire the teachers who encouraged this.
Well, somebody dropped. I mean, their intel unit, if they didn't know about this and they didn't say, they need to do a better job, because there's no way that all these students knew about this. They organized this online and they didn't know about that.
Let me guess. Maybe there were SROs involved.
I knew that. I should have known that was coming. I should have seen it coming. So anyhow, LAPD, you know, not impressed. I mean, Chief McDonald, I've heard great things about you.
Yeah, well,
not impressed. Guys pulling out tasers in a lethal force situation. And then the feds are the only guys that got injured. So I'm not saying LAPD stood down like Minneapolis has been doing when the feds have been over there. But I'm wondering why no guys were grabbed. You didn't go 10-15 with one dude. You didn't identify one student. You got a couple pictures. You still don't know who they are. And we don't have any officers. You know, the only guys injured are the feds. And this thing was like planned. This went on for like the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. I mean, you got to be freaking kidding me. You know, LAPD.
It's ridiculous.
What a disappointment, you know. So
they need to have the officers on the street out there. They need to have somebody in an overwatch with a long range rifle. So if somebody cocks back something to throw it, they need to put it right there in the forehead and stop it. Just stop it.
All right. Well, thanks. You know, we got a minute left and, you know, we've got, I'll tell you what, real quick, the trooper getting struck by the out of control SUV or the, or we got the trash can dumpster, the guy in the trash can. What do you want?
Let's get the one where the car slides on ice.
All right, so Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is better. New York State police trooper struck by an out-of-control SUV during an accident investigation.
Yeah, I got recourse on the way.
Okay. So. Are you the driver?
Yes. Are you okay?
Oh, no.
Okay, all right, just sit down. Sit down.
So we're in Duane, New York, and I've only got seconds, but I do want to cover this. So NYPD is investigating, and New York State Police, so the troopers are investigating after a trooper was struck by an out-of-control SUV. They're at an accident scene, and a female trooper, Bailey Martin, she's assigned to the Malone Barracks, and she's outside the cruiser. SUV's coming. It's icy out. It's snowy out. He lays up. He can't. When he's sliding, his wheels are turned in the other direction. And you should always try to keep your tires in the direction that you're sliding. And, man, he hits her hard. And then the cruiser. I can't believe the driver, Colin Wynott, 21 years old, told police he was blinded by the sun, failed to stop at a stop sign, and took out the female trooper, you know, and her cruiser. And it looks like the people in the SUV declined treatment. And we don't know what her condition is, I guess, but she went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And it says that she's since returned to duty, actually. So any final words on that, Captain? 15 seconds.
One of those vehicles had license plate readers installed on the back of the car. So if you're looking at that, and you see these little square devices pointing off the side. Those are license plate reader. They drive around with them, taking real-time pictures. And they get hits on stolen vehicles.
All right. I love it. Well, thank you, Captain. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And so if you're looking for organization support, please check them out at thewoundedblue.org. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this radio content to you. We have Gauls at Gauls.com. Don't forget the radio code or the discount code, Radio15. ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunner.com, Medicare.life, SafeRecruiting, and TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.